coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Norm Borg here. Embracing change is something our industry does begrudgingly a lot of the times, at least on this side of the pond. On the other side, however, change tends to be welcome, especially when it improves a horse's performance. The sports governing bodies in the Scandinavian countries have approved the use of the bitless bridle. A couple of weeks ago, a horse known for being a grabber finished a very calm and strong second in Sweden, taking home the equivalent of $7,700 U.S. The inventor of this slap-on-the-forehead, why-didn't-I-think-of-that-technology, is next on this edition of Trot Radio. Dr. Robert Cook is professor of surgery emeritus at Tufts University, a graduate of the Royal Veterinary College in the UK. He's taught at various veterinary colleges in both America and the UK. Dr. Cook, welcome to Trot Radio.
Nice to be here again.
I want to congratulate you on the fact that the Scandinavian racing jurisdictions have approved your bitless bridle. I want to get to that, but just for our listeners' sake, just to refresh our memories, tell us how the bitless bridle works.
Well, in a word, it works extremely well. It's painless, essentially, and that's its greatest benefit, and it doesn't interfere with a horse's breathing, which is so important, which the bit does. And I can go back on that if you wish. But
I want to go over the mechanics of it just briefly. Obviously, unlike the bit, which goes in the mouth and does cause pain and discomfort and fear in a great many horses, the design of this is different in what way?
Well, it's essentially a couple of loops, a couple of straps in loop form. One goes around the nose and the other one goes over the pole. It's a figure of eight design, and it spreads the pressure over a large area, which is wonderful because at no one point is pressure going to be painful. The greatest pressure, such as it is over the nose, and then there's less pressure under the chin. There's a little less pressure across the cheeks and up the cheeks towards the ear, and least of all, pressure at the pole.
You've done studies showing a multitude of behavioral problems that the bitless bridle solves. Could you talk about just a couple of those?
Well, the two that I think are of most interest to standardbred people will be choking, the dorsal displacement of the soft palate, and bleeding. And there are many more, head shaking amongst them.
Mm-hmm. But, tell us about the bleeding. The premise, as I understand it, is with the bit, obviously, it reduces the airflow, it causes stress on the lungs, and therefore you experience EIPH. Is that correct?
Yes. It's my opinion that any obstruction of the airway causes vacuum pressures to be developed in the lungs that are abnormally high, suction pressures, and horses bleed from the lungs for the same reason that hickeys develop in human beings. It's a process of suction. It's a question of the mechanism is bruising of the skin of the lung.
Now, I want to ask you how you got the news, and how did this all come about? I mean, this is very a very progressive step forward by the Scandinavian racing authorities.
Well, I've been working for the last 2 years with a standardbred trainer in Sweden, Kirsten Kemlin, and mm-hmm. She's a very interesting person with a very inquiring mind, and she and I have been corresponding at great length. I've never actually met her, but I feel I know her very well. She was willing to, shall we say, go along with my recommendations and test my bridle for training purposes. Between us, we came up with a design for a harness horse head stall based on the cross-under bitless bridle, which worked. And so it was a gradual process over 2 years, and then she used it on her own horses for a race, and then a colleague of hers, another trainer, used it in a race, and that horse came in rather well.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. Pardon my interrupting. That horse is named Fritjof Piraten, if my Swedish is correct.
Yes.
This horse is normally what we colloquially refer to as a grabber, very hard to steer.
Yes.
Yet upon the use of the bitless bridle, apparently was very well mannered and raced very strong and very much in control. Tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely! It was a very impressive performance. And although the horse has a reputation for being a grabber and a bleeder too from the mouth, this horse stayed behind the field. It trailed the field for most of the race, and then in the last 400 meters. It came up with the most amazing last-minute burst of speed, and had the race been an inch or two longer, I think it might have won. But it came a very impressive second.
And again, $7,700 in purse money went to the connections of Fridtjof yeah. Peredin. That, I think, alone would grab the attention of horse people here in North America. I touched on the fact that it must...
Yes, I think I must get in the point that if you stop hurting a horse with the bit and you allow them to breathe better, they will perform better.
You're absolutely right. Now, let me ask you this. The Scandinavian authorities have approved it, and I'm sure that was a thrill for you.
Interestingly, of course, it didn't require them to change any rule. This didn't require a rule change at all. When they looked at the design and the bridle and the fact that we are using a bit in conjunction with the cross-under bitless bridle, they said, well, yes, of course, that complies with the equipment rules. And so there wasn't any need for a new rule change.
Let me ask you, you mentioned you use a bit in conjunction. Explain that.
One of the things that we developed in order to comply with the current rules of racing and to enable trainers to be able to use this more humane approach and more effective approach, I've devised what I call a bit bypass strap.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so there's a bit, we put a bit in the horse's mouth, but it's connected to the cross-under bridle with this bypass strap, and the strap can be adjusted so that a trainer can monitor the amount of pressure that a driver puts on the bit. And you can grade it. You can start, if you want to introduce a horse to the bridle, you can start by having the strap adjusted in such a way that the bit provides all the communication.
The bit is in the horse's mouth.
And the bridle, none of it.
Pardon me, the bit is in the horse's mouth, though.
Yes.
Okay.
It's in the mouth. The object of the exercise is that it should not be used, of course.
Yes.
And you can adjust the strap in such a way that it isn't used.
All right. So in the case of this horse, Fridtjof Peredin, the bit was there but not in use. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. It's an inactive bit. It's a dummy bit.
Okay. All right. Yes. And then just in case,
you know. I would prefer, and I'm sure a horse would prefer, not to have that foreign body in its mouth. But as long as it's not being... as long as pressure is not being applied on it, now it's not intensely painful, and so it won't stimulate tongue movement in the same way that a bit does, and because of the absence of tongue movement, now the throat doesn't become obstructed because of the root of the tongue rising in the back of the throat and cutting off the airway and choking the horse.
Have you made any inroads into getting the North American authorities to approve the use of this bit since we've last spoke?
I haven't made any active efforts to even try. My question to you and the rest of listeners, really, is about the rules of racing. And before this interview, for example, I spent half an hour looking at the standardbred rules of racing for the Ontario Racing Commission.
Very good.
Interestingly, I can't see anything in the rules of racing about equipment that is approved or unapproved, disproved. My question is, for harness horse racing anyway, is it absolutely essential to use a bit?
Well, I mean, you've proven that it is not.
As far as the rules are concerned.
As the rules are concerned, that's something I'd have to look a little further into. I'd be more than happy to pass on a copy of this interview to the Ontario Racing Commission on your behalf, if it'll help clear the air.
I'd be glad to discuss all this with them and to explain the background to the Scandinavian move, which I think is a wonderful thing for racing. I think this is very exciting and an important landmark in the history of racing.
We will follow this very closely, as we have, and we'll see what other jurisdictions in Europe pick up on this, and I'm sure that it will create a domino effect. There's no question in my mind. And let's see what kind of inroads it makes in North America. Dr. Cook, again, a pleasure talking to you, as always. Thank you for being on Trot Radio.
You're most welcome. Thank you.